नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिनि नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम The ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. The chapter is titled as the most confidential knowledge. So, last time we covered till 9.25, I guess, maybe. I will, anyways, any I'll do a quick recap of what we have seen till now. So, as we saw before, in the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks about confidential knowledge, which is Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti, sorry, Guni Bhuta Bhakti, where Bhakti is the secondary element. So he spoke about Karma Jnana, Ashtanga Yoga in the first six chapters. In the seventh and eighth chapters, he spoke about more confidential knowledge, which is Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti, where Bhakti is predominant and Karma Jnana Yoga are secondary. In the ninth chapter, Krishna speaks about the most confidential knowledge, which is Shuddha Bhakti. So, that's what, so in the ninth and tenth chapters, the topic is predominantly Shuddha Bhakti. Of course, there is some element of mixed devotional also that is mentioned in verses here and there. So Krishna starts the ninth chapter by telling, Idam tute guhyatamam pravakshyami anasuyave jnanam vijnana sahitam vyadgyatva mokshase ashubhat. O Arjuna, I am going to speak to you about the most confidential knowledge about knowledge of my realization of me, knowledge of the most confidential knowledge of bhakti, and how you can realize me through that bhakti, jnanam vijnana sahitam, and knowing this, one can be freed from suffering. And then there are seven characteristics of this most confidential knowledge he mentions. Rajavidya, rajaguhyam, pavitram, midamuttamam, pratyakshavagamam, dharmyam, susukam, kartam, apyayam. He says, Rajavidya means this is the highest type of bhakti. Rajaguhyam is the most secret of all, because there are other types of mixed devotional service also. Compared to that, this is the most confidential type of bhakti. Pavitram idam uttamam, of all the practices, pure devotional services has the capacity to purify the most. Pratyakshavagamam, and one can easily practically realize the effects of bhakti. Bhakti pareshanubhava virakti ranyatra jayashataka eka kala. Dharmyam, even though the practitioners of devotional service may not necessarily follow the limbs of varnashrama dharma, but still it is considered to be dharmyam because it is the process recommended for those with the qualification for bhakti. Susukam kartum, and in comparison to the other practices which aim at a transcendental goal, bhakti is very, very easy, because those other practices actually involve restraining the senses, whereas bhakti involves engaging the senses, which is much more easier. And avyayam, bhakti is the only eternal path, because all the other practices are given up at the stage of attaining perfection. But bhakti, bhakti sadhana naturally becomes a bhakti sadhya. You know, it becomes at the stage of perfection. So bhakti, the limbs of bhakti are never given up. So therefore, bhakti is avyayam. But ashraddha dana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapya mam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. But one who does not have faith in this bhakti, they cannot attain perfection, they cannot attain Krishna, and rather they remain fixed on the path of mrityu samsara vartmani. And this bhakti, the knowledge of bhakti, this most confidential knowledge, starts with understanding the nature of Krishna's Aishwarya, especially his Aishwarya with respect to how he creates, maintains and destroys this material universe. So therefore that knowledge comes first. Mayatatamidam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina matstani sarvabhutani nachaham teshu avastitah. He says this, Mayatatamidam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina. In my form which is invisible to material senses, as the Paramatma, I pervade through this whole universe. All living entities are situated in me, but I am not situated in them because I am completely detached. Nachamatstani bhutani pashyame yogamaishwaram bhutabrin nachabhutasto mamatma bhutabhavana. So understand this inconceivable power of my body, that even though I maintain them and I protect them, but my mind is completely detached from them. This is very inconceivable, because in this world, anyone who maintains someone or something and protects someone or something definitely have attachment as the reason for that. Without any attachment, no one maintains or protects anything or anyone. And he gives an example to illustrate this point. Yata akasha stito nityam vayur sarvatra go mahan tata sarvani bhutani matstani iti upadaraya. O Arjuna, understand that just as the wind, okay, just as the wind moves, the ether supports the wind, and the wind moves within the ether. So even though ether is supporting the wind, but the wind is completely detached from ether and ether is completely detached from wind. In the same way, even though I support the living entities, I am completely detached from them. So now the question arises, oh, you said, look at my inconceivable potency that you are detached, but you are explaining that inconceivable potency by giving an example. So that way it has become conceivable. So how is that inconceivable? Krishna says, look, ether and wind both are inanimate objects. Inanimate objects by nature don't have any consciousness, therefore no attachment. So therefore they are constitutionally detached from anything because they are not conscious entities. But amongst conscious entities, this coexistence of protection, maintenance along with detachment is never seen. It is seen only in me. Therefore, it is Yogamaishwaram, inconceivable potency. Sarva bhutani kaunteya prakritim yanti mamikam kalpakshaye punastani kalpadav visrajamyam. And all things will enter my prakriti at the time of destruction, and at the time of creation, again I create everything. So I am involved in all these things. Prakritim swam avashtabhya visrajami punapuna bhutagramam imam kritsnam avasham prakriteir vashat. So I create again and again all the living entities, or I manifest. I don't create, because living entities are not created. I manifest the living entities again and again, who are all dependent on, who are all completely dependent, being under the control of their swabhava or their nature. Nachamam tani karmani nibadnanti dananjaya udasina vadasina masaktam teshu karmasu. But oh Arjuna, even though I am engaged in all these kinds of amazing activities of creating the material universe, maintaining the living entities in that, and then eventually causing the destruction of this universe and re-merging of the living entities inside my body, I am engaged in such amazing acts. But still I am never bound by these activities because I am unattached to any of these activities. So, and then he says, Maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Etunanena kaunteya jagat viparivartate. By my direction as Karanodaka Sai Vishnu, prakriti gives rise to the universe of moving and non-moving living entities. By this cause, the universes appear again and again. So that's what he says. Because I don't personally do it, I do it through the agency of my prakriti. So that's how I can afford to remain detached. I am only the director. It is like the duties of the kingdom going on under the kings like Ambarish through their ministers. Why kings like Ambarish is given? Because Ambarish Maharaj was attached only to engaging in devotional service. So he utilized his ministers to manage the government while he himself was personally involved in worshipping his deities. Savai Mana Krishna Padaravindayor Vachamsi Vaikunta Gunanu Varnani. So even though he was engaged, externally it may seem like, but actually, he used proxy. He used his ministers to take care of his kingdom, while he himself was, with great attachment, personally engaged in the activities of devotional service. In the same way, Krishna engages his ministers. In this case, the energies. His external energy in taking care of all these activities, and he himself remains detached. Okay. But just as nothing can be done by the ministers without the king sitting on the throne, so unconscious matter cannot do anything without my directorship in the form of my presence and authority. So, like that. But dull matter cannot act independent of Krishna. So, therefore, in that sense, Krishna is under control, but he is not attached. Avajananti mam muhuda manushyantanumashritam param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Two different explanations are given for this particular verse, where Krishna says, but when I appear in my two-handed form as Krishna, people think that just because I have a small form and I have only two hands, people think that I am actually an incarnation of the Purushavatara. Muda, such people are ignorant of my parambhavam, of how I am superior to all the incarnations, including the Purushavataras. Mama parambhavam ajananto. They do not know. Mama Bhuta Maheshwaram. So, I am the Lord of all beings and I am superior to all the incarnations including the Purushavataras. Like that. So, this is one understanding. Another understanding is a more generic understanding. But foolish people, even though I am so great, I am the one who is managing this whole, the functioning of this whole universe, the creation, maintenance and destruction. But still, people think that I am just an ordinary person. I have a material body. Like that. Param bhavam ajananto. Not knowing that my form is transcendental, they think that I have just an ordinary material body. Maybe an extraordinary material body, but nevertheless material. Okay. And what happens to those people who think that the form of the Lord is material? Krishna says, Mogasha, Moga Karmano, Moga Jnana Vichetasa, Rakshasi Masuri Chaiva Prakriti Mohinim Shrita. So he says that Mogasha, Moga Karmano, Moga Jnana Vichetasa. If they are karmis, who reject my personal form or consider my form to be material, their endeavors to attain success will not be accomplished. the jnanis, their endeavors to attain liberation will not be accomplished. And even devotees who misunderstand and consider my form to be material or temporary, even though if they may be engaged in the limbs of devotional service, their desire to attain their goal of prema or whatever, that will be baffled. They will not attain their goals. So, rejecting my form and not worshipping my form, not considering my form to be superior, will definitely lead to failure in the endeavors of all kinds of practitioners. Okay. On the other hand, Mahatmanastu mam partha daivim prakritim ashrita bhajanti ananya manaso gyatva bhutadim avyayam. Krishna says, on the other hand, fortunate people who come in touch with my devotees and thereby attain faith in my form, Mahatmanastu mam partha daivim prakritim ashrita. Such people, they attain divine nature. Divine nature means the nature, what is daivim prakritim? Vishnu bhakta smrito daiva asurastat viparyaya. Daivim prakriti means the nature, the divine nature. What is divine nature? The nature to worship Krishna is divine. So how does one develop that divine nature? Mahatmanaha. If they are fortunate enough to come in touch with devotees, they develop the Sukriti. Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana Sukriti o Arjuna. Right? So they develop the Sukriti to worship me. And when they develop that Sukriti, then bhajanti ananya manaso. Then they worship me with one-pointed attention without any distraction due to karma jnana yoga. And gyatva bhutadim avyayam, and such people know the real nature of my form. They understand that my two-handed form or my human-like form is bhuta adim, is the cause of everything, and avyayam, it is indestructible because it is spiritual, only matter gets destroyed. So gyatva bhutadim avyayam. Okay. And what is the form of their ananya bhajan? What is the form of their ananya bhajan? He says, satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha duravrata namasyancha samam bhaktya nityayukta upasate. He says, satatam mam upasate. They worship me at all times. At all times means they have a consistent desire to worship Krishna. Even though the activities of worship may not be consistent, but the desire to worship consistently is very consistent. And they have their pure devotional faith is very consistent. Even when they may not be engaged in activities of devotional service due to the influence of their vasana, or sometimes when they may be sleeping, or sometimes when they may be engaged in their occupational activities. But nevertheless, during all those times, their faith to engage in pure devotional service is very consistent. Satatam, mam upasate, they worship me at all times, bhaktya, with devotion. Kirtayanto, in the form of singing about me. Dridabrataha, having strict vows. Nityayukta, and desiring to be my associates. So they have a constant desire to engage, to establish a relationship with me. And yatantaha, in order to accomplish all these things, they eagerly look out for association of Vaishnavas, because they do understand that without the association of Vaishnavas, none of this can be accomplished. Therefore, Those who have great conviction in devotional service, in the worship of the Lord, without conviction in the importance of association of Vaishnavas, that kind of conviction in worshipping the Supreme Lord is actually a sentimental conviction. That is not pure devotional conviction, which one acquires through the mercy of Vaishnavas, which is considered to be Shastriya Shraddha. Because real Shastriya Shraddha means, along with the attachment to worship the Lord, along with Ishware Prema, there must also be Tadadineshu Maitri. Along with a devotional disposition towards Krishna, they must also have a friendly disposition towards the Vaishnavas. If they don't have it, then that is not considered to be faith which is based on scriptures. On the other hand, while this is pure devotional service, there are people who have very indirect ways of worshipping Krishna. Jnana yajnena chapyanye yajanto mam upasate ekatvena prithakvena bahudha vishvato mukham. We saw that there are three types of what Krishna calls as jnana yajna, very indirect ways of worshipping Krishna. This is actually this is called as ekatvena ahangropasana, prithakvena pratikopasana, bahudha vishvato mukham, which is Vishwarupa Upasana. These three types we saw last time in great detail. These are very indirect ways of worshipping Krishna, even though they may give a kind of transcendental result, but it is only Sayujya Mukti at most, not beyond that. But even that Sayujya Mukti they can attain much more easily by actually directly worshipping the form of Krishna rather than these indirect types of worship. And then, how is this Vishwarupa Upasana accomplished? He gives a series of four verses where he mentions how you can identify all the things of this world to belong to the bodily limbs of the Supreme Lord. Aham Kratur Aham Yajna Swadaham Aham Aushadam Mantroham Aham Evajyam Aham Agnir Aham Putam Pitaham Masya Jagato Mata Data Pitamaha Vedyam Pavitram Omkara Riksama Yajurevacha Gatir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Surat Ved Prabhava Pralayastanam Nidanam Bijam Avyayam Tapamyaham Aham Varsham Nigrinami Utsrijamicha Amritam Chaiva Mrityuscha Sadasachaham Arjuna. I am the sacrifices mentioned in the Shruti Smriti. I am the offering to the Pitrus, the herbs, the mantras, the ghee. I am the father of the universe. In this way, one understands everything of this material world to actually be a part of Krishna's manifestation. So, worship of the totality of the vibhutis, thinking Vishnu is everything. This is called as Vishwarupa Upasana, and this is described here. So, then he says, but at least this is indirect form of worshipping Krishna, but there is improper form of worshipping Krishna, because anything that one worships, that being whatever one may worship, it has some connection with Krishna. The source is Krishna. So whether one may worship the demigods or the pretas and putaganas or the rakshasas and yakshas, whatever one may worship, ultimately their source is also Krishna. So by worshipping them, but worshipping them is the improper way of worshipping Krishna. Ultimately, anything anyone worships, they are ultimately worshipping Krishna, because that anything is actually an energy of Krishna. But those are improper ways of worshipping Krishna. Traividyamam somapa putapapa yajna rishva swargatim prarthayante. Sorry. Oh, sorry. This is different. So, So then he talks about here performing karma, at least the karmakandiya practices of to attain Swargaloka, that he talks about. At least the indirect form of worshipping Krishna, at least it bestows some transcendental benefit, even though it may be Sayujya Mukti. But this kind of karmakanda actually leads to repeated birth and death in the material world, even though they may attain till Swarga. Traividyamam somapa putapapa yajne rishtva swargatim prarthayante te punyamasadya surendra lokam ashnanti divyan divideva bhogan. So those who perform the essential karmakandiya sections of the Vedas, indirectly worshipping Krishna through all these karmakandiya sacrifices and everything, they may become purified of their sinful reactions, and they attain Swarga, and till their punya last they stay there. Tetam bhuktva swargalokam vishalam shine punye matyalokam vishanti evam trayi dharma manuprapanna gatagatam pra kama kama labante. It is mentioned that after staying in the Swarga for a long time till their punya last, they eventually have to return to this Matyaloka to again perform some karma, gain more piety, and then go back to Swarga. So it is not a permanent stay there. So in this way, people who take up to this path of karma, they get their enjoyment on the strength of their karma. Then what about the devotees? The devotees have given up karma. The devotees have given up the path of karma and taken up to worship of Krishna. So what would provide happiness to the devotees? Because if they have given up all kinds of pious activities, how would they get happiness? Krishna says, Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana paryupasate tesham nityadiyuktanam yoga kshemam vahami aham. But I carry the burden of supply and maintenance tesham nitya abhiyuktanam, of those who desire constant association with me. I carry the burden of supply and maintenance. So paryupasate, those who worship only me, ananyas chintayantaha, and those who think only of me and not of demigods and not the process of karma, jnana, yoga, etc., and they worship only me, and they do not worship the demigods, etc. So for such persons, yoga kshemam vahamyaham, I carry the burden of supply and maintenance. So the happiness of my ananya bhaktas is given by me. It is not obtained by pious acts. Okay, so for such persons, I take care of their attainment of wealth and their maintenance, even though they do not expect such things. But I take responsibility for that. Okay, so here he uses the word vahami. Why he uses the word vahami, I carry? Because he says the use of the word vahami indicates that the Lord bears the burden of maintaining their bodies in the manner that the householder takes the responsibility of maintaining his own wife and children. He takes full responsibility. Thus, one should not say that, like others, their attainment or preservation of bodily needs is due to karma. So, still, someone may say, but since you are Atmarama, who is completely enjoying within and indifferent to everything, where is the question of your bearing the responsibility? Are you not Atmarama? So in response, he quotes the Shruti, the verse says, Gopaltapani Upanishad says, Bhaktir asya bhajanam tad iha amutropadi nairasyena amushmin manah kalpanam etadeva naishkarmyam. Bhakti is worship of the Lord, concentrating the mind on Him, renouncing all material desires for enjoyment in this world and the next. It destroys all karma. Because my ananya devotee has no karma due to lack of desire, his happiness is given by me. Yes, it is true that I am indifferent to everything else, but I have great affection for my devotee. This is because. But someone should say, hey, why you want to give burden to your Supreme Lord, burden of your maintenance to your Supreme Lord? Why should you give the burden of your maintenance to the Supreme Lord? So Krishna says, they do not give me burden. Rather, I by my own will accept it. I want it. I want to personally maintain them. And I am not bearing it as a duty. Just like I, as a duty, I engage in the creation, maintenance and destruction of this universe. By my Ichha Shakti alone, you know, by my will alone, I don't personally engage in it. But being attached to my devotees, I take the greatest pleasure in taking care of their needs, like carrying the weight of one's lover. When a beloved carries his lover, even though she may be weighing, you know, a lot, but because of that affection and attachment, it is a great pleasure to carry. But yepi anya devata bhakta yajante shraddhayanvitaha tepi mameva kaunteya yajante avidipurvakam. But one who worships the devatas with faith, yes, they are also worshipping me ultimately, but it is improper by the wrong method, avidipurvakam. It is not the right way of worshipping me. Because aham hi sarva yajnanam bhokta cha prabhureva cha natubam abhijananti tatvena taschavantite. Because such people do not understand that ultimately I am the master of all sacrifices that they are carrying out. And those who do not know me know that I am the ultimate benefactor of all the sacrifices. In truth, they fall down. So, yanti deva vrata devan pitran yanti pitru vrataha bhutani yanti bhutejya yanti madhyajino pimam. So, ultimately, the worshippers of the devatas go to the devatas. The worshippers of the pitrus go to the pitrus. The worshippers of the ghosts go to the ghosts, and my worshippers come to me. And because the devatas themselves, the pitrus themselves and their abodes themselves are not eternal, therefore, they have to come back. Whereas those who attain my abode, because I am eternal and my abode is eternal, when they come there, they can also eternally stay there. Okay, this is where we ended our discussion last Friday. So before we start today's discussion, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as add, we can take. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions based on what we discussed last week or whatever we have summarized today, we can go. Yes, Champaklata Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranams. Prabhuji, in Name Bhaktya Pranishiti, Lord actually says, I give you all protection. But that time, I think there was a discussion where you had said, Lord actually promises to protect the soul. It's not about the body. Something like that had come. But when we are talking about Ananya's Chintayanto, here, like it is being said that he takes care of all requirements of the you know, person, both bodily requirements and also that. So how do we understand these two, Prabhuji?
Yeah, so good question. So I will context, I will explain to others because others may not have understood the question. When we were discussing the topic of Kaunteya Pratijanehi Name Bhakta Pranashyati. Oh, of course, we have not discussed it in Bhagavad Gita yet, because we are going to discuss this in this section, actually. 9.31 is that verse number. We have just now completed 9.25. But elsewhere, when we were discussing this verse, we were discussing that when Krishna says, Kaunteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashyati, please go and loudly proclaim, O Arjuna, that my devotee shall never perish. So we understood that, oh, that perishing is not that Krishna is promising that the bodies of the devotees shall not perish. What he means is he protects the spiritual credits acquired by the soul, and he will protect it across various bodies. That's what he promises. So therefore, if you see a devotee, dying in due to an accident or something like that, one should not say that, oh, Krishna has not protected his devotee like that. But now here Krishna says, Ananyas chintayanto mam yajana paryupasate, yogakshemam vahamyaham, I take care of you even physically. Yes, physical maintenance also Krishna does when it is needed. And when Krishna feels, okay, at this point of time, it is good for this devotee if he suffers some physical ailments, because that is favorable for him to come closer to my lotus feet. If he feels like that, he can give that also. Basically, here also, it means the physical maintenance of the body of the devotee also is taken care of by Krishna. And sometimes Krishna may allow that body to suffer also for the higher purpose of pulling that soul closer to his lotus feet. So yes, maintenance of the body, Krishna very well takes care of that. But when he has to sometimes give some suffering to the body for the higher purpose of pulling that soul closer to his lotus feet, he may do that also. That's what this means.
Okay, Pramji, thank you.
Any other quick discussion points, comments, questions? Yes, Kesho Priyama.
Hare Krishna, President of Prams. Prabhuji, when I was hearing the total summary till now, Prabhuji, all the top secrets regarding him and what the doubts generally people have, whether he is whether he's only impersonal or he's standing, he has got a personal form, everything, almost everything Krishna has cleared in this session, Prabhuji. Every nook and corner he has answered, Prabhuji. So we are understanding this only because of Acharya's commentary, or the shlokas itself Krishna is revealing like that. So how is that people are able to miss this science, Prabhuji? It's Krishna only telling, no, Prabhuji, all my addiction, prakriti, everything, and the third 9.4, I am all pervading, everything he says, Prabhuji. Then how is that people can misinterpret such shlokas in a different way, Prabhuji?
Actually, we don't know the language Sanskrit. We are reading the English translation as explained by the Vaishnavacharyas. So, we are not actually accessing the Sanskrit because we don't know the language. So, what we are actually reading, what we are thinking Krishna is speaking, we are not hearing Krishna's words as spoken in Sanskrit. We are hearing the explanation of the Acharyas as translated by Srila Prabhupada in English. Right? But
certain words, no, Prabhuji, Maya, Tatam, Idam, Sarvam, all those words, no, Prabhuji.
All
like,
those
this
words
is simple.
Also, what meanings you heard from whom?
Prabhupada, Prabhuji, but even Hindi, someone who knows Hindi, these words are.
Yeah.
Sanskrit is not totally Greek and language, Prabhuji. Some Hindi,
no,
so
no
Hindi, they can understand this.
No, they cannot.
Okay, Prabhuji. Okay.
Sanskrit is much more sophisticated than English. English is a very plain language.
No, no, which, not English. Hindi, I am telling. Hindi.
Hindi also is a very plain language. Sanskrit is much more. One who knows Hindi cannot properly understand the nuances of Sanskrit at all. So that's why Sanskrit, the lipi is only same. As a language, Sanskrit is much more sophisticated than Hindi or English. So therefore, it allows multiple explanations of the same verse. So we are fortunate that we are directly reading the translation given by a Vaishnavacharya. That is our only access to Bhagavad Gita. But those who know Sanskrit and do not have access to the Vaishnava Siddhanta, the verse itself can potentially reveal various types of meanings, grammatically right meanings. You can explain it in multiple different ways. That's why Sanskrit is an extremely sophisticated language. So therefore, it is not that that's why even great Vaishnavacharyas did not outright very easily dismiss the Mayavadi interpretations. You know, it is mentioned that even Ramanujacharya had to he had a debate for I think 21 days or something like that with one Mayavadi. And at some point, he totally lost confidence. And somehow, Lord Ranganath came to the rescue and he gave him confidence. And the next day, Ramanujacharya, goes due to that confidence, due to that mercy, he goes very, very confidently. And seeing that confident face of Ramanujacharya, that Mayavadi surrenders. Otherwise, we are very ordinary people. Ramanujacharya took 21 days. So which means it is not as straightforward. You know, if you are, because the language is such a sophisticated language, you know, it gives scope for multiple interpretations. Compared to Sanskrit, Hindi is an extremely plain language, even though the same script is there.
But this may be positive, positive and negative also, like, because it can, if it is simple, maybe everyone would have taken devotional service if they understood this ninth
chapter.
That
is misunderstanding. That is a misunderstanding. Even if it was written in very plain language, unless Sukriti is there, one cannot understand. That is why Krishna says this is Raja Guhyam. Extremely secret. The secret, it is extremely secret, even though it is so openly available, but still it is secret because those who do not have that Sukriti, they cannot understand. So therefore, is the sophistication of that language the reason why people have not understood bhakti openly? No. Unless one comes in touch with a pure devotee, it is impossible to take up to bhakti. Even if Sanskrit happened to be a very plain language, still that is the nature of bhakti. So it is not due to the sophistication of the language that we have so many different Mayavadi philosophy and all that. No, it is not due to the language. It is due to the disposition that people have. So one cannot blame it on the language, actually.
Thank you, Prachari.
Yes, Shiva Kumar.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Prabhu, a related question from a different angle, Prabhu. We understand that the pious or the impious activities have nothing to do with developing Sukriti. Is that right, Prabhu?
Correct.
Okay. Now, but when we say Sukriti, Prabhu, is it not true that if somebody is, say, reaching out to do some social service, he has better chances of doing it, covering the devotees in that umbrella, by thereby developing some Sukriti, Prabhu? Versus someone who does not have an inclination of doing some
charitable activity.
हाँ
Yeah, you can say in one sense, yes, but such a person may not have an inclination to give charity. He may have an inclination to receive charity. So he may go and receive in charity from a Vaishnava and develop appreciation for that Vaishnava. So that way he can get Sukriti. And it is not necessary that if someone is having a charitable disposition, but a Vaishnava should mercifully come and receive that charity. Only then it may lead to Sukriti. But Vaishnavas are rare. So even if a Vaishnava comes to receive the charity, still the credit goes to the Vaishnava only. So there is no guarantee that if a person is giving in charity, because charity is one way of receiving Sukriti. Even if one has no charitable disposition, still a Vaishnava may pass via that person and he may wish him good morning or good evening or exchange some pleasantries with that person and still gain the appreciation of that person and give him Sukriti. So, yeah.
Okay. So just one follow-up question, Prabhu. In the 11th canto, this sloka 11:28, Yadruchya Mat Kadato Sloham, Prabhu. So there
Yeah.
this word Srila Prabhupada translated as by if some or other by good fortune. So I have been thinking about this, Prabhu. Is this just
Good
a matter
fortune
of
means
chance?
association of devotees.
Okay.
Good fortune means association of devotees.
Okay.
Okay. Why, you may ask? I will give you a proof from this very chapter, which we have already seen. I'll give you a proof from here. So here, Mahatmanastu Mam Partha, 9.13. So he says, Mahatmanah. He says, fortunate souls. You see the translation? The first word only, the fortunate souls. And in the purport, you see, but those men who attain greatness by unpredictable mercy of my devotees attain the nature of the devas and worship me in my human-like forms. So that fortune comes because of the unpredictable mercy of my devotees. That is the good fortune. So yadrichaya mat katado, by good fortune, that refers to the association of Vaishnavas. Okay, good, you brought out this point. Let us go to that particular verse and see how the acharyas explain that particular thing. Okay. So yadrichaya matkatadav, right? That is 11:25. What is
11:28
the
from
11?
28.
11.20.8. Okay. Let's see what the acharyas say about it. Let us open 11.20.8. Okay, so this is Srila Prabhupada's. I will share the screen. Give me a second. Okay. Yadrichaya matkatadau jata shaddastu yah puman nanirvinno nadisukto bhakti yogosya siddhida. So, okay, just give me a second. 11.20.8. I will just increase the zoom it little bit. Okay. If somehow or other by good fortune one develops faith in hearing and chanting my glory, such a person being neither very disgusted with nor very attached to material life should achieve perfection through the path of loving devotion to me. This is Srila Prabhupada's disciples' translation. Srila Vishnu Thakur's translation. If by unexpected association with devotees one develops faith in my topics, that person being neither very disgusted nor attached to material life is qualified for bhakti. That's how unexpected association with devotees is explained as good fortune. So he says that, okay, by taking into account the explanation, the first canto, the meaning of the first phrase is that person who has developed faith in my topics by unexpected association with great devotees. Okay, this is Vishnu Chakritakur. Let's see how in the purport Srila Prabhupada's disciples say, if somehow or other one gets the association of pure devotees of the Lord and hears from them the transcendental message of Lord Krishna, then one has the chance to become a devotee of the Lord. Okay?
Okay.
So, yeah, like that.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhu. Because I was thinking, Prabhu, if it's just a matter of a chance, then I thought it's not fair on the part of the jivas to get to bhakti. But now I understand it's not a matter of chance, but it's only by the association of devotees.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Very good.
Hare Krishna. Anything else before we move forward? I see anything in the chat box? Yeah. Once when one starts practicing devotion with faith, does then also Sukriti is necessary? Will it be beneficial? But then it is not called as Sukriti. It's not called as Agyata Sukriti. Agyata Sukriti means till one gets faith in bhakti. Once one gets faith in bhakti, then it's not called as Agyata Sukriti. It is called as, you can say, something like that, you know, devotional credits. You know. Then that faith becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. From anarthana vritti to nishtha to ruchi to asakti to bhava to prema, like that. Yeah, like that. Yes, Champaklata Mataji.
Prabhuji, Lord actually repeats certain things from 7th chapter to 9th chapter. So, about, you know, deity, I mean, sorry, demigod worship, etc. So, is there any reason why Lord actually almost, you know, says the same thing in 7th and the 9th chapters, Prabhuji?
About demigod worship?
Yeah, and also he talks about impersonalism, like, you know, he spoke about the three things here, no?
Because those are popular but improper or incomplete practices within the Vedic fold, which have always been there. So therefore potentially these practices can distract people from worshipping Krishna. So therefore, oftentimes if you, like if one has to purchase, let's say a laptop, so then one should know how to identify a brand new laptop from a refurbished laptop. Or, you know, if so someone is purchasing some particular gadget, one should know how to identify original from duplicate. So similarly, when worship is involved or meditation is involved, so then one, when the right meditation is mentioned, then it should be contrasted, and similarly people should be you know, cautioned about wrong kind of worship also, because demigod worship also involves worship. Worship of the Pitrus also involves worship. Worship of the Yakshas, Rakshasas also involve worship, and with some apparent faith. So therefore, Krishna, in order to make it very clear that those kind of worship do not constitute pure devotional worship, he mentions about them again and again.
Okay.
Okay, what does Sadhu Sangha mean? Yeah, Sadhu Sangha means association. Sadhu Sangha means discussing or hearing Krishna Katha from them. Sadhu Sangha also means serving them. All these things constitute Sadhu Sangha. Like that. Okay, so If there are no further discussion points, questions or comments, let us move forward to today's discussion. Today we have a very interesting series of verses. Let us go ahead, because he has already contrasted, you know, pure worship with, you know, the improper, incomplete forms of worship. So then he says, okay, glories of pure devotional service. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yo me bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhaktyupahritam ashnami prayatatmanah tad aham ashnami. I accept. Here ashnami means I eat. Literally translated, it eat. It means I eat. But here it should mean I accept through various senses. Sometimes one of the sensory activity is mentioned to as a representative of all other sensory actions. So here the word ashnami is used. Patram means leaf. Flower is not eaten. Phalam, fruit, is eaten. Leaf may be eaten. Water is not eaten. It is drunk. So, but here the word ashnami is used to indicate the action of all the senses through which these objects may be accepted. Fragrance is accepted through the nose. One may accept a flower for its fragrance. Or one may accept the beauty of the flower through the eyes. Okay. And toyam. Water is accepted by drinking. Of course, the tongue is involved, but drinking, not eating. So therefore, here, ashnami indicates general acceptance through various senses and not just specifically eating, even though the literal dictionary meaning of ashnami is eating. So, here, even in Sanskrit dictionary, you will not see the meaning of the word ashnami as accepting. I accept. Why? Because here it is a contextual meaning. Okay. So, it's a very contextual meaning. Tadaham ashnami. I accept bhakti upahritam. That which is offered with love. That which is offered with love, tadaham ashnami. Prayatatmanaha, from genuine devotee having pure body and mind. Okay. From the genuine devotee having pure body and mind, and when he is offering it with love, yome bhaktya prayachati. Yaha prayachati, who gives? Again, the word bhaktya is used with devotion. Patram pushpam phalam toyam. He may give me a simple leaf, flower, fruit or water. Okay. But if he offers it with love and if he is a genuine devotee having pure body and mind, then I accept it. Okay. Leaf, flower, fruit or water. Okay. So, this actually indicates the ease. You know, in the beginning, bhakti was mentioned as susukam kartum. Very pleasurable to perform, very easy to perform. How difficult it is to offer a flower or a fruit you know, flower or a fruit or water or a leaf, how difficult it is. It's very easy. But Krishna accepts. So for the worshippers of the devatas, there is extreme trouble. But this is not so for my devotees. In this verse, the word bhaktya in the instrumental case literally means by the devotional process. So which means bhaktya prayachati. Bhaktya prayachati means who gives by the process of bhakti. Because in the process of karma also, sometimes things are offered to the Lord through oblations, you know, offering as oblations in the sacrificial yajna. Okay. So here he is not talking about that kind of oblations. Yo me bhaktya prayachati means those which are offered to me through the process of devotional service. The offering should be through the process of devotional service. So here, bhaktya refers to jnana karmadi anavritam. Okay. In this verse, the word bhaktya in the instrumental case literally means by the devotional process. But then, with the next phrase, bhakti upahritam, offered by the process of bhakti, there would be unnecessary repetition. So, if bhaktya means by devotional process, and if bhakti also means by devotional process, then two times repeating the same thing would be repetition. So, therefore, he says, the sentence would then read, I accept that which is offered by devotion from whoever offers by devotion. You know, that would be a repetition. Thus, the word bhaktya in this verse should mean bhaktya sahitaha, indicating in this sentence a person endowed with genuine devotion, the real devotee. Okay. So, bhaktya here refers to from the genuine devotee. Actually, bhaktya should come here. From the genuine devotee, bhaktya, having pure body and mind. Prayatatmanaha, who gives? Yo me prayachati, just a leaf, flower, fruit, or water, patram, pushpam, phalam. So bhaktya should come here. Sorry, it's a mistake here. So bhaktya, I accept that which is offered with love from the genuine devotee, having pure body and mind. Who gives just a leaf, flower, fruit, or water? So here, so therefore, thus the meaning should be, I accept that which is offered with bhakti from the real devotee, even if he gives just a leaf, flower, fruit, or water. Okay. Thus, I do not accept what is offered by persons who are not my devotees, who have only some temporary spurt of devotion. So some people may do bhakti upahritam. They may offer something with devotion, but that may be a temporary spurt of devotion. That may be a temporary spurt of devotion. Okay. Therefore, here the word bhaktya refers to from my genuine devotee, not a person who shows some temporary spurt of devotion. Therefore, the word bhakti upakritam and bhaktya, these are not redundant usages, because sometimes due to some temporary spurt of devotion, you know, someone may offer something to the Supreme Lord, but he's not talking about them. Okay. But whatever my devotee gives, I enjoy it in a suitable way. Ashnami. And what type of offering is it? He says, he does not offer it because someone told him to offer it, but he gives it out of love, bhakti upakritam. But if my devotee has an impure body, I do not accept even that offering. He must have a pure body, which means ritually pure body, prayatatmanaha. Which means, what does it mean? This excludes persons from offering during menstrual cycle or with other impurities. So this is one understanding. You know, so such people should not offer, you know, because they have a ritually impure body. So during such times, one should not offer, someone else should offer. However, the word prayata atmanah can also mean a person with pure mind. No one except my devotee has a pure mind. So here, pure mind means not a mind which is free from anarthas. Okay. But it means a mind which is free from other goals like swarga or liberation or other material enjoyment in this world. That is the meaning of pure mind. Pure mind does not mean a mind which is free from anarthas. Because if that would be the case, then Krishna would not later say, apichet suduracharo bhajate mam ananya bhak sadureva samantavya samyak vyavasito saha. Therefore, pure mind refers to a person who has a genuine desire to serve Krishna, but sometimes due to various anarthas, he may not be able to perfectly accomplish it. So, a sadhaka is also, you can say, a person who has a pure mind. In that context, in this particular context, okay, not in a universal way. As Parikshit Maharaj says, Dautatma Purushaha Krishna Padamulam Namunchati. A pure devotee of the Lord whose heart has once been cleansed by the process of devotional service never relinquishes the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, for they fully satisfy him as a traveler is satisfied at home after a troubled journey. The sign of their purity is the fact that they cannot give up the service to my lotus feet. Even if there is a trace of lust or anger, it is insignificant, like the bite of a toothless snake. So you see here, there may be lust and anger, and that's what he tells later in Apichet Suduracharo verse. So the purity here refers to purity of faith, not purity of one's swabhava. So like that he says, Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti upakritam ashnami prayatatmanah. I accept that which is offered with love, bhakti upakritam, bhaktya, from genuine devotee, not persons who may have a temporary spurt of devotion for whatever reason. Prayatatmanah, having pure body, you know, not during menstrual cycle and all that, and pure mind also, having a pure mind. Okay. So, and who gives just a patram pushpam phalam toyam to me? Okay. So the offering of patram pushpam phalam toyam indicates ease. How it is very easy to please Krishna than to please the demigods. So bhaktya, bhakti upahritam means offered with devotion. Bhaktya means a person endowed with genuine devotion, a real devotee. Okay. So which means those who are not devotees, if they offer to Krishna, Krishna does not accept. So, and it should be offered out of love. But if the devotee has an impure body or a ritually impure body, then Krishna does not accept. However, the word prayatatmana can also mean a person with a pure mind. So no one, so which means it means a mind which is free from other goals and a mind which is uncontaminated by the process of karma jnana yoga. That's what it means. So no one except my devotee has a pure mind, as Parikshit Maharaj says. The sign of purity is the fact that they cannot give up the service to my lotus feet. That is what Krishna says. Apichet sudhuracharo bhajate mam ananya bhag. You know, even though he may be a severely conditioned person, but bhajate mam ananya bhag. He worships Krishna with no other desire other than the desire to attain him. And such a person, even if there may be a trace of lust or anger, it is insignificant, like the bite of a toothless snake. Like that. That is the explanation of this. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yo me bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti upahritam ashnami prayatatmanah. Like that. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add. There are some questions in the chat box. What about we sadhakas offering? Sadhakas offering is definitely accepted by Krishna. There is no doubt about it. Okay, next question. How can we understand this against 7.16? They are mixed devotees. The offering of mixed, they are not prayatatmanaha. Their mind is not completely pure because the artha, artharthi, jigyasu, they have desire for, they have anya abhilasha. So that is, they are not like exactly prayatatmanaha. Right? That's my understanding. Yes, Kesho Priyamati.
Harishna Prabhuji. Prabhuji, is that Krishna is telling here that he will accept only from pure devotees, or what, how to understand? Because he is a bhokta, no, Prabhuji, for bhoktaram yajna tapasam. He says, I am the enjoyer of all the sacrifices. So even for all the yajnas, they finish it off with like a sarvam Krishna arpanam, no, Prabhuji. So he is accepting everything, no, Prabhuji.
Yes, he is accepting everything, not as a person, not in, but he may accept it not in reciprocation with love. So, and such persons, so he will give them the result of their yajna in the form of some material benefit or at the most some liberation like that, but he will not give himself. So that is the way it should be.
Or we should we understand that it is not him directly receiving, it is the Purushavatas, or is it Krishna in other offerings in some way?
Can you repeat the question?
Prabhuji, like the sacrifice we are doing here, no, Prabhuji, mixed devotion, karma yoga, many indirectly people are serving Krishna, no, Prabhuji. So is it like, is it not Krishna is accepting? Is it his avatar, Purusha avatars are accepting? Is something like that?
Yeah, there are. It could be any of the form of Bhagavan who may come and accept. Nevertheless, but they get only the result of their karma. They don't get bhakti. Yes, Krishna does accept those mixed devotional offerings in the form of yajna and other such things. It may in any form, but he does not give himself in return.
So what is the We should understand from this shloka, Praji, what is it he is insisting in this shloka particularly then? If you are offering with pure devotion, then I am happy. Is it like that, Praji?
Yeah, I am happy. He does not say, I give anything in return, which means I give myself in return.
Okay. It's an inspiration, like it is the inspiration to take up pure devotional service.
Yeah,
Thank
true.
you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, I did expect many questions on this line, so I am getting many questions in this line. Okay. What about Matajis who are single and they live by themselves? What are they expected to do offerings while experiencing their cycles? This is a very valid question. I don't know, honestly. Yeah, I honestly don't know. This is a very valid question. Or even if they may not be single, they may have uncooperative members of the family who may not be willing to cook and offer it. How would they do it? This is a very practical question. But honestly speaking, I don't know the answer to this question. But what I will do is I will write to His Holiness Banaswami Maharaj and get an answer, and I will communicate it to you next week. I think practically most people have answered asked question based on that only. But let's go ahead, go over the other question. What does it mean, impure body? Purport says it excludes other impurities and during menstrual cycles. Let's read what it says. This excludes persons from offering during menstrual cycle or with other impurities. Other impurities could mean, you know, without taking bath, like that. You know, they may not have taken bath. Okay, someone says we can keep a. Yeah, ritually, does ritually pure bodies also mean bathing thrice a day? I'm not sure about thrice a day, but definitely without bathing, cooking and offering. Maybe I think that's one ritually impure body, might be, you know, unbathed body, like that. So there is another question. Can we, during those times, can one keep a photo in kitchen and offer after taking bath? I don't know, honestly. I will have to get this clarified. This is a very practical question. I will have to get this clarified. I will get it clarified. I am sorry. I cannot answer this question. I don't know the answer. So, anything else before we move forward? Yes, Sri Vidya Mataji.
Yes, Prabhuji. I mean, I also would like to know or wanted to know that what are the other services that are, you know, prohibited for this ritually impure bodies? Yes, is
Yeah,
there any
I
reference?
think, yeah, deity worship for sure not. But other than that, I think in terms of chanting, hearing, remembering, studying Bhagavatam, I don't think none of that one is restricted. I think it's probably only cooking and worshipping the deities, I guess. This is my understanding, but I am not very sure how strictly this is followed. Yeah, someone says, this is a very valid point. Someone says, we keep dry fruits covered with lid before the cycle. This is a very, yeah, if there is no one that is there who could cook and offer, then I think this is a reasonable way of doing it. So before cycle starts, one may offer dry fruits. Yeah. Okay, another question. For the devotees practicing bhakti, would the 13-day period after one passes away be considered a period of impure body? No. not for devotees. The Sutak time does not apply for devotees. One can, unless it would create some problem, they would experience some problems from the family members who may severely object. But otherwise, there is no Sutak period actually for devotees. But if some family members who are very strictly following those principles actually would object, then you know, instead of unnecessarily agitating them, one can avoid while mentally worshipping the Lord. Anyways, okay, someone says, I keep water and jaggery water. Yeah, good. You know, these are ways probably, but I will get these are like very practical ways. But if there is any further addition to this, I will try to gather this information from Maharaj. Okay. If there are no further discussion points, then let's continue. Yat karoshi yat ashnasi yat juhosi dadati yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushva madarpanam. Okay, there is some other question. Someone asked me in the past that onion garlic comes under patram. So why not offer with love and eat? I told them they are food that fall under the tamasic category and we don't offer such things to Lord. But is there any other answer that you could think of? No, I think that's the answer, right? It is tamasic. So tamasic food, you know, we don't offer. So, yeah. True. Someone says they are considered cow flesh. I don't know about it. Maybe. I don't know. I have no idea about that. Maybe. I don't know. Okay. So, someone says onion is cow skin. Oh, maybe. I don't know about it. Maybe. Okay. Yat karoshi, yad ashnasi. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, yad juhosi. Whatever you sacrifice, dadasi, yad, whatever you give, yad tapasyasi. Whatever austerity you may perform, tat kurushva madarpanam. Offer it to me, O Kaunteya, O son of Kunti. Like that. So, here Srila Vishnachakaya Thakur writes, among all the types of bhakti you have mentioned, starting with mention of the bhakti of the sufferer, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive and jnani, which bhakti should I perform? So here is Arjuna asking a question that amongst all types of bhakti that you have mentioned, starting with Artho, Jigyasu, Artharthi and Jnani, which bhakti should I perform? So, in response to this, Krishna tells to Arjuna, O Arjuna, because you cannot reject karma, jnana and other processes in your present state and are not qualified for the supreme bhakti or kevala bhakti, and because you should not degrade yourself to perform the inferior sakama bhakti, you should perform bhakti with a slight mixture of karma and jnana, karma jnana mishra pradani bhuta bhakti, but which is nishkama. Okay. So, because this is a direct kurushva, you do, it's a direct instruction. Of course, we should understand that, you know, Krishna gives many personal instructions to Arjuna at different stages of Bhagavad Gita. So, initially he says, Hatova prapsasi swargam jitvava bokshase mahim. Oh, Arjuna, you should fight, because if you fight and win, you can enjoy the kingdom. If you fight and lose, you can enjoy in heaven. So definitely you should fight. So Krishna tells this. Later Krishna says, Karmanyevadhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana. Ma karma phala heturbhur ma te sangostu akarmani. O Arjuna, you should perform your karma of fighting, but do not expect any fruits in return. Okay. So he is suggesting, initially he suggested Sakama Karma Yoga, then later he suggests Nishkama Karma Yoga. And later Krishna also says, Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. Give up all karma and just surrender unto me. Okay. So now one should understand in the 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita, all the verses which are spoken in an instructive way, directly instructive way to Arjuna. Arjuna, you should do this. Arjuna, you should do this. Arjuna, you should do this. So none of these verses are applicable to Arjuna. Because Arjuna is a pure devotee. Perfected devotee. Right? So he tells, when he asks Arjuna to perform Sakama Karma, that is not applicable to him. Because Arjuna is a pure devotee. When he asks him to perform Nishkama Karma Yoga, it is not applicable to him. Because he is a pure devotee. When Krishna asks him to perform pure devotional service, even that is not applicable to Arjuna, because instructions are needed only for sadhakas. Arjuna is not a sadhaka. Arjuna is already a perfected devotee. Instructions are needed only for sadhakas. So, but here, this is a special case where Arjuna is put into this kind of a bewildered state so that one can, so Krishna can utilize Arjuna as a prototype Sakama Karma Yogi and give him instructions on Sakama Karma. He can use him as a prototype Nishkama Karma Yogi and give him instructions on Nishkama Karma. He can use him as a prototype pure devotional sadhaka and give him instructions on pure devotional sadhana. While Arjuna is not fit to receive any of these instructions, because instructions are needed for sadhakas, Arjuna is a siddha, is a perfected devotee. So under Yoga Maya, Arjuna acts imitating, not imitating, actually he's not exactly consciously imitating, but under the influence of Yoga Maya, Arjuna acts as if his adhikar is Sakama Karma sometimes, and sometimes he acts as if his adhikar is Nishkama Karma, and sometimes he acts as if his adhikar is Shuddha Bhakti. Now here, according to this particular verse, Arjuna is, according to Krishna, he says that, look Arjuna, you cannot reject karma, jnana and the other processes in your present state. Currently, in your state, you still have attachment to them, you cannot give it up. And you are not qualified for Kevala Bhakti, currently. Okay. But at the same time, you should not degrade yourself and perform Sakama Bhakti also, as in Artho Arthati Jigyasu. Okay. So therefore, you should perform Bhakti with a slight mixture of karma and jnana, but which is nishkama, without any material desires. Okay. But it may have some elements of karma and some elements of jnana. So here Srila Bhanuswami Maharaj commenting on this, he says, this is predominantly predominantly bhakti with some mixture of other elements. It is similar to karma yoga because activities are performed, but it is superior to karma yoga and nishkama karma yoga because all activities, even beyond the prescribed duties, are offered to the Lord without desire. So, in karma yoga, only the Vedic activities, the fruits of the Vedic activities are offered to the Supreme Lord. But here in this particular verse, the fruits of all activities, Vedic and the regular activities, everything is offered to the Supreme Lord without any desire for material result. It is similar to Jnana Mishra Bhakti because the person has knowledge of Atma and Paramatma. But it is superior to Jnana Mishra Bhakti because it has abundant appreciation of personal features of the Lord. But because the consciousness is not always fixed on the Lord, the activities are offered after performance rather before. Thus, it cannot be classed as Ananya Bhakti. Ananya Bhakti. So, in pure devotional service, all activities by default are performed only for the pleasure of Krishna. Or only those activities which give pleasure to Krishna are performed. Consciously. Okay. We are not talking about activities which a sadhaka may perform influenced by his, which a sadhaka may regretfully perform influenced by his swabhava. We are not talking about that. We are talking about conscious performance. Okay. So, he may perform certain activities, both Vedic and generic activities. And then after that, offer the fruits of those activities to Krishna. This may happen. Okay. So, thus it cannot be classed as Ananya Bhakti. Okay. It is superior to Nishkama Karma Yoga or Karma Mishra Bhakti. Because there only prescribed duties are offered, but here all activities are offered. And it is superior to Jnana Mishra Bhakti. It is similar to Jnana Mishra Bhakti because the practitioner has the understanding of Atma and Paramatma. But he is superior to Jnana Mishra. It is superior to Jnana Mishra Bhakti because it has abundant appreciation of the personal features of the Lord. That is how he is explaining this. Yat karoshi yadashnasi yajjuhosi dadasi yat. So Krishna explains this in two verses. This Yat Karoshi Adashnasi and the next verse is Shubha Shubha Falai Devam. Okay. 9.27 and 28 he talks about this person. So whatever you do, whether following rules of the Veda or whether performing worldly action, whatever you eat or drink in ordinary life, whatever austerities you perform, do it in such a way that it becomes an offering to me. So it is first performed and then offered to the Supreme Lord. One should call this neither Nishkama Karma Yoga nor Bhakti Yoga. So this is somewhere in between. This is Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti. So the practitioners of Karma Yoga offer actions prescribed in the scriptures to the Lord, but not all the actions they do in ordinary life. So, because there is offering of actions, this is actually Karma Mishra Bhakti. Because in Karma Yoga or Nishkama Karma Yoga, only the Vedic prescribed actions are offered to the Lord. But in Karma Mishra Bhakti, the Vedic prescribed actions and ordinary actions both are offered. This view is accepted by everyone. The devotees, however, offer to the Lord all the actions of their minds, pranas and senses. The method of bhakti is stated, Kayena vacha manasendriyairva buddhyatmanava anusrita swabhavat karoti yattat sakalam parasmai narayanayati samarpayettam. In accordance with the particular nature one has acquired in conditioned life, Whatever one does with body, words, mind, sense, intelligence, or purified consciousness, one should offer to the supreme thinking. This is for the pleasure of Lord Narayana. Someone may say, okay, this is all a clarification which is sought based on this verse. So here, someone may ask, but when you mention that I should offer in sacrifice, that sacrifice is derived from Archana, which is an Anga of Bhakti, aiming at the pleasure of Vishnu. And when you mention austerities, it means vows such as Ekadashi fast, like tomorrow is Ekadashi. This is all Ananya Bhakti. How can you say that it is not? Because here it is, Yat Karoshi, Yad Ashnasi, Yad Juhoshi. Whatever you give in sacrifice, yet tapasyasi, whatever austerity you perform. So someone may say, oh, the sacrifice that you are telling is a part of archana, which is an anga of bhakti, someone may say. And the austerity that you are talking about is ekadashi fasting. So all of these are limbs of ananya bhakti. Why do you say that it is mixed devotional service, someone may ask. So, Krishna says, Vishnu Chakradaku says, true. But Ananya Bhakti does not mean that you perform an action and then offer it to the Lord. Rather, in Ananya Bhakti, the action is done after first offering it to the Lord. Okay. Iti Pumsarpita Vishnu Bhaktischen Navalakshana Kriyeta Bhagavati. Prahlad Maharaj, in that verse, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atman Vedanam Iti Pumsarpita Vishnu Bhaktischen Navalakshana Kriyeta Bhagavati Adha Tan Manyed Aditam Uttamam. So Prahlad Maharaj tells Hiranyakashipu. So this bhakti of nine types after being offered to the Lord should then be performed for the Lord. After being offered to the Lord means actually only those limbs which Krishna prescribes as limbs of devotional service, those are performed. Not that you perform all the activities or even ordinary activities when performed consciously. Okay. Ordinary activities when performed consciously are like even when one goes to sleep, a devotee goes to sleep, he does it with the understanding of okay, let me now go to sleep and have a good night's sleep so that I can wake up and perform my devotional service nicely. So with that mood only he goes to sleep. So offering to Krishna, offering the activity prior to performing that activity, offering the activity to Krishna prior to performing that activity means performing the activity actually for the pleasure of Krishna. That is what it means. Sridhar Swami has explained this Bhagavatam verse. In Ananya Bhakti, actions first being offered to the Lord should be performed rather than performing the acts and then offering them later. Thus, the present verse is not included in Kevala Bhakti, since the acts are performed and then offered. Nor is it considered Nishkama Karma Yoga because all acts are offered, not just prescribed duties. So there is Nishkama Karma Yoga, then there is Karma Mishra Bhakti, then there is Kevala Bhakti. In Nishkama Karma Yoga, Vedic prescribed actions are offered after performing. Okay. In Karma Mishra Bhakti, Vedic and ordinary actions are offered after performing. in Kevala Bhakti, devotional actions are performed for the pleasure of Krishna. Okay. So this is the difference between, so of this, Nishkama Karma Yoga is at the bottom, Karma Mishra Bhakti is above that, and Kevala Bhakti is at the topmost. Like that. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as add? There's already some questions in the chat box. Even though we have lust, anger and greed, the Lord is accepting bhoga. Then why not accept during cycle, which is a bodily platform, because we are following Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, we are supposed to do. It's a very valid question. If my heart has lust, anger, envy, greed, etc., like for a sadhaka who's Anartha Nivritti is not accomplished, if the Lord is willing to accept the bhoga of such a person, why not accept when the body is ritually impure? Very valid question. Of course, because Anartha Nivritti is very, very, very slow. One cannot, one cannot purify it overnight. But if one's body is ritually impure, like if one has not taken a bath, one can take bath and offer food. So that is definitely allowed. So, yes, as I mentioned, this is a very valid question. I need to get it clarified from His Holiness Bhanu Swami Maharaj. I will write to him today or tomorrow and try to seek some clarification on this about ritually impure bodies. What should be done? You know, someone may be a single woman staying, they have ritually impure bodies, what do they do? Okay, one may say that, okay, offer dry fruits to the Lord before the cycle starts. But then they themselves are supposed to honor prasadam. Where will they honor it from if they cannot cook and feed the Lord? This is, yeah, I do not honestly know an answer for this. So I think I will have to ask Maharaj about this. I apologize. Any other quick discussion points before we move forward to the next verse? Yes, Mother Gail.
Yeah, I'm not sure I really fully understand the question. Can you restate it, please?
Actually, you joined a little late, Mataji, actually. That's why you are not able to understand the context of the question. So, in the previous verse, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam, Krishna had mentioned, there was one word which said Prayatatmanaha. Prayatatmanaha means, he mentions that he must have a pure body, a ritually pure body, which means this excludes persons from offering during menstrual cycle or with other impurities. So he says that Krishna says, I accept that which is offered in devotion by a genuine devotee, and provided he has a ritually pure body, which means if one has not taken bath, or if the women are going through their monthly cycles, they should not be offering. That's what Krishna says. So in this context, the question was asked that if Krishna is willing to accept the offerings made by sadhakas whose heart is troubled with lust, anger, and other such anarthas. Why can't Krishna accept the offering which is offered by someone whose body may be ritually impure? Because that is the question. That is the context. And in that context,
yeah, actually, that is actually how I did understand the question. So I was thinking that, you know, if a person's heart is impure, you know, since this is a gradual process, you know, I mean, if we were to wait for the heart to be impure, then we would never
offer it
get
to the Lord.
Heart, you know, but when our body is ritually impure, you know, that's something that we can take care of more easily, isn't it?
Correct. Under normal circumstances, yes. But what if, let's say, someone has a leg which is severely infected, so the doctor has said you cannot you know, take bath, otherwise it will reinfect your leg. So they can't literally take bath. So then should they cook and offer because they have a ritually impure body?
I
yeah,
mean,
these are little gray areas. I do not know, honestly. I need to find out some clarity.
I was just thinking that, you know, I mean, we say that Krishna is so, like, crazy, crazy merciful, you know? So I'm just thinking that he would certainly take these conditions into consideration.
Yeah,
you know.
He does. He does take these things into consideration. That's why he allows us to chant his holy names, to hear the Krishna Katha, remember him, and do many such activities which do not need a ritually pure body. But when it comes to archanam, definitely certain standards of purity are there. So that needs to be followed. So Krishna is still very merciful because he has not closed the door for approaching his lotus feet. It just says that archanam you cannot do. He does not say you cannot chant the holy names. He does not say you cannot hear Krishna Katha. And those are also bona fide means of approaching Krishna's lotus feet. So Krishna is still crazy merciful because the other doors are not closed. They are all fully open.
But I mean, that mercy, that quality of mercy, it doesn't seem like it would apply if he knows that a person doesn't have choice, right?
Yeah.
And
correct. I understand. That's why I wish to seek some clarification. I cannot give a definitive answer here because I don't know. So is that so? Because one Mataji asked this question. What if someone is a single woman? So she has to eat prasadam.
Yeah.
So how does it work? So I need to ask. So so I don't know, honestly speaking. So someone says, okay, just before the cycle starts, offer some dry fruits to the Supreme Lord. Yeah, that's okay. So you have offered it to him. But the person has to eat what they will eat. You know, you cannot offer like 2 kilograms of dry fruits and for the next 3 days just keep eating dry fruits, you know. That will just spoil the whole system. That's not possible. and it's quite expensive too. So, so yeah, I don't know. This is I need to get it clarified. I don't know the answer, honestly speaking.
Okay, well, thank you.
Hare Krishna. Okay, there are more questions in the chat box, but before that, I'll quickly take the verbal question. Srividya Madhu.
Prabhuji, like earlier Krishna said, Krishna Param Swayam is act of pure devotee, devotion. Now here when we say like yes, Karoshi, like and Krishna says Nadarshanam. So 99% of our daily activities is this one. So we make what we like and then we offer it to Krishna just to sanctify it. So most of the time it's not for pleasing Krishna, just to sanctify it and so we take it. That's the case 99% of the time. So how do we then reconcile both statements?
Well, do we accept that as the gold standard? Do you accept that kind of an offering only for purifying it and not for pleasing Krishna? Is that your understanding of gold standard or is that your current standard?
No, so it is, yes, we do understand that, I mean, it is to please Krishna, but most of the time we see we make things that, I mean,
Wait,
that,
no. Wait. 1 second, Madhu. Now we will follow a procedure. Don't say we. Please say I and just say what you do. You can speak for yourself. Okay, go ahead. Most of the time.
Yes, see, I understand the glories of prasadam. I
Okay.
have deities at home. Definitely, I want to please them. So it is
Okay.
there, but not that always I, because I knew a few devotees who, for them, every day, part of the meal would be, starch they would make every day because, they know a lot likes it like it. But I don't make it like it once in a while.
Okay. So
So I make
you
it. For me,
don't
at
make it.
least.
So you don't make it because you don't think you need to make it, or you're unable to make it.
It's both ways. Definitely, if I wanted, definitely I could have, I mean, I can make it every day. But see, because I know even if it is made at home, it's not that others are going to, honor it. So it will not please others at home, that is one thing. So that case, it is for me, like I make most of the time what I like, others like, and then
That's
I offer.
okay. That is fine, but that at least is done for the pleasure of Krishna, right?
Yes, that is right. Because I have deities, I
That's
definitely do
okay. Of
most.
course, if you don't like it, how are you so sure Krishna will like it?
Sorry, told
If you don't like it, how are you so sure Krishna will like it?
Because there are certain items, which we are told, like, this is Krishna's favorite, this is
No.
this one.
Anything which falls
So,
in
I mean, the thing is
that
that
Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Krishna
the
likes.
Consciousness-wise, I never even make any attempt to see that, whether the, so what are the things that Krishna likes, just
Okay. You
that
don't attempt or you don't want to attempt.
it's not, I mean, I don't attempt. It's not that I don't want to attempt. I don't attempt
Would
most
you
of the
like
time.
to attempt in future?
Whenever there is a possibility, yes, I do attempt. When I see, good males, this one, so I make peda. Even though others don't like peda, I think that Krishna likes, milk sweets, so I do make it for him, little quantity. So
No, I
that's it.
mean,
Sometimes it is there.
if devotees like it and if it falls within the Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam, then one can offer it to Krishna. What is the problem?
I mean,
You
offer
see,
to Krishna, but my this question is, in that case, will it come under this Yatkaroshi category, or is it pure?
Yatkaroshi is even at the level of faith only they are convinced that oh, we will do this, and then idam krishnarpanam, like that. But are we taught in devotional service that after doing every activity, after doing 16 rounds, we say, oh, idam krishnarpanam, I offer it to you? No, we are the activity itself is pleasing to Krishna, so we are performing those activities which are pleasing to Krishna. I say
right.
The activity which we consciously do, of course, unconsciously we may engage in acts of sense gratification which are triggered by our swabhava. I am talking about those activities which we may perform triggered by our faith. But these karma mishra bhaktas, they perform activities triggered with their faith. Also, certain activities, they not necessarily in a mood of pleasing Krishna fully. They may perform certain activities which they like and later offer those activities to Krishna. So that is karma mishra bhakti. So, but the sadhakas, their performance is not karma mishra bhakti. It is actually pure bhakti only.
Okay. Thank you very much for that clarification, Prabhuji. And if there is a little time, I just wanted to share my own experience in this case of the menstrual cycle this one. This has happened to me, before I got initiation, those 3 days, that we decided that we will get out, food from outside. At that time, there was no this one of chance of getting any prasadam outside. So we used to get only those 3 days. Other days, no, we would never eat outside. Only those 3 days, we used to get food from outside. And then put some dry mahaprasadam into it and we take it. Then after my initiation, me and my husband, we decided, that we will not have outside food at any cost. So, but I was a little scared, ki, what would happen? What will I do during those times? But, Krishna's mercy, so I got a Mataji who came and actually I knew the Mataji even before that. But I never attempted to go and ask her. But when we decided that we will not have outside food and in front of Krishna, then, suddenly it's pregnant. I went and asked that Mataji, we cannot have outside food, so will you come and cook it for me? Because that Mataji, she is basically a cooker devotee. So she goes and cooks at the devotee's place. The problem was solved, and after that, every time that Mataji comes, so my this one was, so if I had taken that, step earlier, even Krishna would have, helped me earlier also, but that thought never came that, I should, take that, this one, to please Krishna. So, but when we are ready to please Krishna, I think Krishna helps us some way or the other. So this is one of the different moments, so many different moments. I'm just sharing my life.
Yeah, very wonderful, Mataji. Thank you very much for sharing. Yeah, thank you. If you have the sincere desire that, yes, Krishna, I don't want to eat anything other than prasadam, but at the same time, I don't wish to cook with a ritually impure body, so please help. So then help came, actually. Yeah, wonderful. Thank you for sharing. Okay, there are other questions also. My God, many questions. But I guess it's already 9 o'clock and we should stop on time. I have some other things also. So I think we will pause here. And please note down your questions. Each one of you individually, please remember your questions. And next time when we meet, please, before we start that discussion, please do remember and ask your questions, and we will take those questions. In the meantime, I will also confirm these questions from His Holiness Bhanuswami Maharaj and get back to you. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna.